Okay, so we're staying on Daf Tet today, okay? So Moed Katan Daf Tet, 8a, page 15. We're around 8 lines down. It's okay, so Amar Mar. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What? Page 15, Daf Chet Amar Aleph. Okay, around 8 lines down. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar Mar. So we said in yesterday's Gemara, we said Yesh Yom Shetarowebo, Yesh Yom Shiatarowebo, that there are some times when the Kohen should look at the Nega to declare whether it's Tami or Tahor, and sometimes he shouldn't get involved. And the Gemara had a drasha, it was from the Braisa, the Ubiyom Hiraotbo, on the day that he sees it. So the Gemara darshened out, the Braisa darshened out, there's some days he sees, some days he doesn't see. Like if Zachasan during his Shibis Yimei Mishnah, he leaves Zachasan alone. He's not going to tell Zachasan to be, you know, a Mitzorah or during Yantiv also. So he says, so the Gemara says, my mashma, somebody unmuted themselves. So how do I see that? How do I see that from the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, in came the Tov Rachman of Biyom, my Uviyom, Shomina Yeshom Shetaruebo, Yeshom Shetaruebo. So Abaye says it's from the extra Vav. The Pasuk says, and this Pasuk was quoted 10 lines from the bottom on the previous Amud on Zion and Beis, Uviyom Heraotbo, the day that he sees it. So it could say biyom, it doesn't say uviyom. So the extra vav, according to Abaye, is coming to teach me this halacha. Rava Amar, kulik prayaterahu. Rava disagrees with Abaye. He says it was his prayater, it means the whole word is superfluous, according to Rava. Not just the letter vav, the whole word uviyom is superfluous. Dim kein latov rachmano ubehei ra'ot. In other words, if he didn't have to teach me this halacha, that there are days that you see, days you don't see, so the pasuk could say, Uvehiraotbo, like when he sees it. Doesn't have to say Uviyom at all. Leave out Yom altogether. He says, my Uviyom, Shvamina Yeshom Shetaruebo, Yeshom Shetaruebo. So by adding this word Uviyom, it's to allude to this halacha or teach me this halacha. There are days when the Kohen looks at the Nega and days he doesn't look at it. So we have a machloka between Abaye and Rava. So Abaye is learning it from the extra Vav and Rava learns it from the whole word. According to Rava, the whole word is superfluous. But Abaye says that word is not superfluous. That I need that word bayom to teach me the Kohen is only allowed to look at the Nega during the day. He has to see it by natural light. He can't see it by candlelight or any other light. He has to see it by natural light. So therefore, bayom is not superfluous, but the vav is superfluous. The Rava, bayom v'lo b'layla manale. So Rava is saying the whole word is superfluous. Where does he learn this halakha? We assume that he agrees with this halakha, that the Kohen has to see it by daylight. He can't see it by candlelight or anything else. Minalei, nafkalei, milachol marei, enei ha-Kohen. So we'll learn it from a different pasuk, which is a little earlier in the parsha. It says, lachol marei, enei ha-Kohen, or to all vision of the Kohen. The Gemara takes this pasuk is teaching me that the Kohen has to see it by natural light. Lachol marei, enei ha-Kohen. Rostolovsky thought the whole phrase was superfluous, but lachol marei enei ha-kohen. But Abaye, humi baile, lemiuti suma b'achat meinav. Abaye says that pasuk, that's teaching something else. That's to teach me if the Kohen is blind in one eye, he can't declare a nega tamei or tahor. He has to have both of his eyes. Lachol marei enei ha-kohen, the eyes of the Kohen. So unless the Kohen's got two working eyes, he can't declare it. So the Gemara says, but Rava should also need it for that. Rava also agrees the Kohen has to be fully sighted. In Hakinami, the Gemara says, right. So Rava, that pasuk is out of the equation. So where does Rava know that it has to be dafka by day and not by night that he's looking at the Nega? Because Abai learned it from Uviyom Heraotbo, but Rava said that the whole world was superfluous. So Nafkale mi kenega nirali babayit. He says, the person will say, Kenega Nira Libabaya. This is talking about the Nigei Batim, is that the owner will come to the Kohen and say, Kenega, something that looks like a Nega is apparent to me in the house. Leave Lola Ori. Nira Ali, it appears to me, Lola Ori, not with my candlelight, but it was just with natural light, I'm able to see it. And then he summons the Kohen. So Mela, that sounds like the Kohen. So we want to extrapolate from the Nigei Batim to a general halakha in the Gaim generally. But Abaye doesn't subscribe to Alimud. But Abaye, imi hatam havamina harimile tumen glav de gufa. I would say, yeah, over there, it's tumen that's not in the guf of a person. He says, about tumen de gufa, the tumen that's in the guf of a person, we view as more chamor, it's coming from the person himself. Afilu oro nami. So there I would think that even by candlelight would be good. Kamash falan. So he still teaches me that this way. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So again, the question was, how do we have this drasha? We said there's a drasha that the Bryce had quoted in yesterday's Gemara, that there are times that a kohen will examine the nega, sometimes he won't examine the nega. So you won't examine if it's a chassan who's in Shibas Yimei Mishta, he's not going to look at the nega because you don't want to, you know, end up declaring the person tamei. And if it's during Cholam Oed, then also he's not going to look at the nega, though we saw the word sometimes yesterday was all, you know, with finesse, but there's sometimes when he won't look at it, if it could, you know, end up, you know, for sharing the simcha. So it was from the pasuk Ubiyom Heiraot Bo, the day that he sees it. So what's the limud? So Abaye says it's the extra vav. It could just say Biyom Heiraot Bo. It says Ubiyom Heiraot Bo, and Rabbi says no, it's not the extra vav. It's that whole word is superfluous. Ubiyom, because it could say Ube Heiraot Bo, and when he sees it, he doesn't. I don't need Biyom. So Abaye says, no, but the biyom I need to teach me that he can only see it during the day. He can't see it at night. So the word is not superfluous. So the Gemara says, so where does Rava know, you know, biyom below Belila? So we had one sort of like false path. We thought the Chol Mare Inei HaKohen, but the Gemara said that pasuk was that we thought was by natural light. But the Gemara says that's to teach me that he has to be fully visioned in both eyes. So the Gemara says, so Taka Rava will learn from that. So where is Rava going to learn it from? So Rava is going to learn it from, so Rava is going to learn it from Mikinega near Aliba Bayit. The owner of the house says, something like a nego appeared to me in the house. Near Ali appeared to me below the Ori, not with my artificial light. Near Ali, it appeared to me without my artificial light. So that's where Rav is going to learn, that it has to be by natural light. So why doesn't Abaye learn from there? So Abaye said, yeah, but over there, that's Tuma de Lav de Gufa. That's Tuma that's not in the person, that's in a house. He says, well, Tuma de Gufa, I feel Loro Nami. But the Tuma de Guf, I would think that even Loro would be good for it. Okay, who's a question, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up? Okay, Rafi's going to ask a question I'm going to repeat in a minute. Well, the reason we bring a Kohen and not Bezdin is because that's what the Torah says to do. I don't know what to say. This is a tafkid that the Torah, you know, assigns to the Kohen. I can't give you a hesber. In other words, I'll give you the hesber. The Kohen is the religious leader. So Chazal teach us that Negayim come for certain Aveirot. So the Gemara Neirchen learns 7 Aveirot, and I think the Midrash says 10 Aveirot. But there are different Aveirot that you get these Negayim from. So he's coming to the Kohen, it's like the religious leader, and then the person he has to say to him, you know, you're Tami, you're Tahor. That's the idea. I think Rav Simon gave it. What was it? He gave a drasha once about this. That the idea is that the person has to be Machnia himself. In other words, like the Negayim come like from Gassus Ruach, from arrogance and other things, and so now he has to be machnia himself. He's got to subordinate himself to the Kohen and comes to the Kohen who's going to make the declaration Tamir and Tahor. And then at the other end, he's got to come to him as well. Okay, so I think you heard the word from what Rafi was asking. He was asking why the Kohen didn't have it. And I said that's what the Torah signs. And he asked why, and we went through it. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Rabbi, regarding having vision in both eyes, what's the difference? If a person has perfect vision in one eye, I mean, the only thing, it might not be able to have as much, you know, depth of perception unless you want to see if there's something raised. Yeah. Is that an issue?
I mean, the answer is that this is what the Torah says to do. Why the Torah says he has to have vision of both eyes, I'm not sure. In other words, the Chora, it would have to do with being able to see the nega properly, but I'm not sure. That's what the Torah says. You have to have vision of both eyes. It's interesting. I know that you're an ophthalmologist. But it's like, you can, you know, like I say to Shia, he hasn't been around lately, I don't know if he's away, But just like you can have the veterinary Gemaras, you can have the ophthalmological Gemaras, all the sugyas where it speaks about vision. You can write a paper on it, Daniel.
So, Rabbi, it would make sense.
Say again,
if
what?
You need, whether the guy is raised and you need to have depth of perception, then you need both eyes to be able to decipher that. If this right, is the issue at heart.
That could be. I'm not sure. That could be the issue. Okay. All right. Let's go further. Now, say again, what? What? I have to, you know, all right. Can you give me a misaf Erchin? I'm sort of bothering you. Erchin, okay. So, Yosef asked me if not giving truma is one of the reasons. Now, again, the Gemara only mentions you're in the vicinity there. Okay. So, Yosef asked me if not giving truma is one of the reasons. So, the Gemara in Erchin, which I'm looking for now, only mentions 7 reasons, but there are more reasons that are mentioned in the Medrash. So let's just take a look 1 second.
Rabbi, Sarut Ayin is one of them. So if not giving
All right, so it could be related to that. 1 second, but you have to explain more about that. 1 second. Okay, we got it. Now, okay, so the Gemara. Okay, so this is what the Gemara says in Erchin Adaf Tetzayin. Are you with me? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman and Riochan al Shivat bar Negayim Bayim, that Negayim come for 7 different aveirot: al Lashon Hara, like the slander; al Shvichat Dami, murder; al Shvuat Shav, a vain oath; al Gilui Arayot, sexual immorality; al Gasad Ruach, arrogance; al Gezel, theft; al Tzar Ha'ayin, miserliness. All of, that's the ones that the Gemara gives. So the Gemara doesn't say anything about Trumas and Masros, but then the Medrash mentions others, but I don't know what to say. That's what the Gemara said. What? Well, Sarah Zion. Okay, I'm going to move forward in the Gemara. Okay, now, thank you so much. Welcome, Michael. Okay, we're on Chedem and Aleph in the Mishnah. Okay, so you know, Moi Katan is somewhat famous because it has all the sugyas that deal with Avelos. And even though the main sugars are coming another week from now, but we have a little taste of, you know, a little with the kura and things like this right now. So with Manitin, Ba'odama Reb Meir, in addition to which Reb Meir said, So Reb Meir says that on Chol HaMoed, one can do Likrat Samo. So Bisman Chazal, this may sound a little ghoulish to our ears, but they would bury the body and then it would decompose. And then a period of time later, they would dig it up and get the bones and put the bones in, I think, an ossuary, which is like a vessel for the bones, and bury the ossuary in the family vault. That would be the way they would do it. Here's the Gemara if you want. Oh, you have already. Okay. So in the family vault, in other words, like they have like a set of, like there's a floor layout, and it was like there's a hole in the ground, and then there are niches in the walls, and you stick the ossuary in the niche in the hole. So, Vodomar Ramir said, that on Chol HaMoed, one is allowed to do Likud Atzamot, with gathering the bones, but they be Simcha Hilo. Because even though on Chol HaMoed, you want to have Simcha Seregal, so we think in the Hava Amin of the Gemara, that, let's look at the Rashi on this. The Rashi is around midway down the narrow columns. Simcha Hilo should Kovran Mekibri Avotav. In other words, I feel happy that you know, the person came to Bura in the family plot, so to speak. So that's what we think in the Hava, I mean, the shot is. So, okay, let's wait 3 minutes till I finish the Mishnah. Hold off the questions, okay? And I'll finish the Mishnah, then everybody will ask their question. Okay, now, he says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Evel Hulo. Rabbi Yossi says, you can't do this on Chol HaMoed, because this is going to cause avelus for you. So you shouldn't do this on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so we have machloka between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. Am I allowed to do Likud and Samod on Chol HaMoed? He says, then the Mishnah has a different halacha. And there's a lot of different shatim in these next lines. Lo yo'orer adam al-meito, v'lo yisbidenam kum l'regel shoshim yom. The way I'm going to learn it is the person let's say a person had in his family, somebody died 2 months ago, he shouldn't have a whole, like, azkara for the person within 30 days of the regel. In other words, like a memorial service for the departed person within 30 days of the regel. So lo yorer dalameto, again, there's different shots in what yorer is, but one shot is, a ma'orer for him and for other people who had died. He says, I get people to be maspid everybody. But lo yasmidenu would be just him from the regel shloshim yom. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain, but like when I get somebody within 30 days of the regel, it gets everybody all upset about it. And now I'm upset for the regel. In other words, let's say the person died 2 months ago. Now I have an azkara for him within 30 days of the regel. So now everybody's miserable for the regel. You know, everybody's in a miserable mood for the regel. We'll see pshatim on why not to do this. But that's one way to learn. Okay? All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah?
Yeah, Rabbi, Likud Atzamot is a halakha that applies to
me
as well.
Daniel, wait a second. Rafi's asking a question and I'll come to you, okay? What's up, Rafi?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Doesn't it become tamei?
Yes. I don't know if he wants to become tamei, but he can have other people do it also. He doesn't have to do it, but if somebody's got to become tamei. So Rafi asks, wouldn't he become tamei by doing Likud Atzamot? So somebody would become tamei. Okay, well, what's up, Daniel?
Tame, I mean, if it's more than 12 months, I'm not sure. Are the bones metame still?
So remember we said bone, remember a whole shedra is metame, but bone.
If it's the entire, right.
It's metame.
What I was mentioning.
It's certainly b'maga, yeah. And even b'tumasoha. What's yeah.
that? So likud atzamot is something that even nowadays it is applicable and sometimes it is done. Right,
okay, we'll talk about it. Hang tight. Wait another 20 lines and we'll talk. Okay, let's wait till the end of the saga. And then Likud Atzamot, like Daniel was saying, I think, is like if you reinter somebody, you have Likud Atzamot. We'll talk. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Raminu, so we pose a contradiction to Ramirez says, on Chol HaMoed, I can do Likud Atzamot. So we pose a contradiction to Rameir, and Ramirez says, it's Simcha Hilal. So Raminu, we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamalakid Atzamot Aviv Imo. If a person does Likud Atzamot for his father or mother, so he has to engage in avelus that day, but that evening he won't do it anymore. But Amar Rav Chista says, you know, even if the bones are like wrapped up in a garment and he never sees the bones, he still has to engage in avelus. So Mela, how could Ramir say it's simchi lo when the halacha is he has to be in avelus? So Amar Abaye, Eimam Neish, Simcha Regel Alav. So Abaye says, we should understand what Rameir is saying, is that he could do Likud Atzamot because there's so much Simcha in the Regel, the Simcha in the Regel will overtake whatever Avelus he feels from Likud Atzamot. So that's what he means. Not the shot that we said originally, that he's so happy because he's doing the Kura, but there's a big Simcha in the Regel, and that will overtake his Avelus for the Likud Atzamot. Now, I'll say that Rabbi Leibowitz is mentioning in his tape today, he said that when they do, this most frequently happens when people reinter people at Eretz Yisrael. So I'll tell two stories, I guess. One is Rabbi Leibowitz says when they do it, they typically don't tell the person what day they're doing. In other words, they'll say, like, we're doing it this week or like this period of time. And so then the person doesn't know. He only has to do the Likud Atzamot if he knows about it. If he doesn't know about it, and they tell me afterwards, so he doesn't have to engage in the Avelus. So the frequently they won't tell him, and then afterwards they'll say, you know, we did it, it's there, it's an Eretz Yisrael, it's done. Then the other thing is, this is a sad story, but you know, one of my Rebbeim was Ramichal Katz, and welcome, Daniel, so much nice seeing you in person than on Zoom. I think you're the unique person both on Zoom and on person, like, you know, on the same shear. So the so one of my one of my Rebbeim is Ramichal Katz, so he unfortunately, he had a son who died in a fire in Baltimore. He took him to yeshiva there, and there was a fire in the yeshiva, and the son died and the cousin died. So I was in a shiur. There was one day he didn't show up for shiur. So I said, you know, Rav, you weren't in shiur. What was going on? He said that they were reinterring his son for kibura, I think, in Eretz Israel. And the day of Likud Atzamot, he was knowing Avelus that day. And that's the story with that. Okay.
They say that Likud Atzamot could not be towards the evening because it requires a certain amount of, I guess, avelut that you should recognize, otherwise it's towards the evening, there's nothing left.
Yeah, well,
Shulchan Aruch says that.
All right, I don't know. All right, now what, any other questions?
Avelut
That's true too. Yes. Yeah, so let's go slowly with this. So yes. Yeah, so in other words, the halacha is that we don't do likud atam on chol hamoed. In other words, the machloka tanaim. No, but Rabbi Yossi says you don't. So we pass like Rabbi Yossi, we do not do likud atam on chol hamoed. But within Rabbi Meir, so who says that you do likud atam, it sounds like from the Gemara that he would say that, I don't know, it sounds like that the spinker would overtake the availus. I don't know. Let me take a look. That's the way it's, let me see the article, what the article says.
You must do it on that day or otherwise.
One second. Let me just take a look. One second.
Yeah. Flavor. I think they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Many other people.
Yeah, so he says like this. This is in the Arts Show, footnote 22. The Rifan Muki Yosef explained, the Gemara is answering, that the obligation to be joyful on the festival exempts the person from mourning. This is even the period of mourning for a newly deceased relative is pushed aside by the festival. According to Rashi, it would seem the Gemara understood this from the outset. However, the Gemara meant to ask, since the rabbi is so fit to impose a day of mourning upon reinterment, this activity obviously awakens sad emotions in a person, and thus it should be deemed inappropriate for Olamoid. The Gemara answer is that the person's preoccupation with the festival will save him from the anguish that usually accompanies reinterment. So within the Tana Remeir, so we're just saying that in Achinami, he doesn't have to do Avelis. It's overtaken by the joy of the festival, but in other words, like maybe he shouldn't do it because there's too much Avelis involved. But according to Remeir, there's so much Simcha involved that it'll overtake everything. All right, now. Right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's see now. So we're 10 lines from the bottom. Although you are air all mato, he shouldn't like get everybody all roused up for his mace. In other words, like he has, like the person has somebody who died, let's say 2 months ago, and now he wants to have an askara for him within 30 days of the regal. So the mission is saying, don't do that. He says, my lo yar air all mato. What does it mean? You shouldn't be my arer. Like to sort of like initiate that people will have a velus. Amarav, Kadhadar Satana Bamarava, when the eulogist goes around in Eretz Israel, Amri Yipun Ime Kumarira Liba, like that everybody like cry with him who's like got a bitter heart. In other words, he's going around saying anybody who's, you know, feels upset that Ploni passed away, come and we'll talk and we'll give it a velus and the whole thing. So they shouldn't do that. So Kodon Regal Shloshim Yom, so I shouldn't do that within 30 days of the Regal. Maishna Shloshim Yom, what's so special about 30 days? So Amarav Kahana, Amarav Yehud Amarav, Masi B'damachach, Kinis Mo La'alot the Regal. There was an incident with one person who gathered enough money to make a Li'ul Regal. Uva Asaftan V'yamad Al Petach Beito. And then Asaftan, a eulogist, came to his house. Unitalatan Yishto and Atantan Lo. So his wife gave him the bag of money. And is like to pay him for making the hesped. So he didn't make aliyah. The money was all gone. So Tasha Amru. So at that time they said, in other words, the first shot is saying that you have to have money and you're going to spend the money for the saftan and you won't. It'll mess you up from being able to make aliyah the regal. So he says, Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, contains the top line on Ketam Beis, Ushmuel Amar, the Fishin Amin Mishtakech Menaleim Shloshim Yom. Shmuel says that, like, for 30 days, it means, like, a person has a certain intense feeling for the mace. So if this is, like, I start giving a hespedim for a mace within 30 days of the regal, it's going to remain with me, that thought, going into the regal. So obviously, if a person, Rachman Atzlan, passes away, then, of course, you'll do hespedim. But it means to make an askara for him within 30 days of the regal, that's not so good. So my binayhu, so what would be the nafkamina between the two shitot that we just said? One being that it's because we're afraid that the money is going to disappear, which is Rav. And Shmuel says that the Marivus has been in his heart. Either way, you can't do it. So one nafkamina would be, if I have a saftan, it means like a professional eulogist who's willing to do it for free. So according to the first reason, there's no concern of the money disappearing. But according to Shmuel's reason, it's still problematical because, you know, everything is going to be a mess before the regal. Now, let me just say one other thing here. 1 second. Just give me 2 seconds and I'll pause, okay? Now, this we did. Now, Okay, now he quotes here, and this is a footnote too. There seems to be another practical difference between Rav Shmuel, where the one may hire somebody who dies a relative who died within 30 days of the festival. According to Shmuel, this is permitted, as explained, or according to, okay, let me do this. Now, something else though. This is Rabbi Sabalovsky was saying to me that when the Rav passed away, I don't remember this, but he said that they wanted to do an Azkara for him. The Rav, I think, passed away in Chol Hamoed Pesach, and they wanted to do an Azkara for him, and they made sure to do the Azkara, I think, like 32 days before Shavuos. In other words, they didn't want it to be within 30 days of the Regal, because, you know, for this reason. And then they got it for the Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, now who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything of this so far? Right. So the Gemara in Brachot says, okay, so Daniel's asking, the Gemara in Brachot says, the person has forgotten after 12 months. This Gemara says after 30 days. So I had the same question. I saw in the Sifta they asked the question, and they quoted from the base of Ephraim. But the way Rabbi Sablovsky was just saying, it's like different levels of anguish and things like that. So in other words, right. Like Yosef saying, you have Shiva, Shloshim, and your base Chodesh. So like Shloshim is more intense, you know, Beilus. So saying look, that's going to like reinvigorate the feeling during the Shloshim. That's what's doing. Okay. Okay. First of all, with Likud Tzamot, like so, Rafi was asking, isn't it a stira? Here, on the one hand, we say that you can do Likud Tzamot on Chol Hamoed, and on the other hand, we say we shouldn't do all these Hespedim before the Yontif. Okay. So first, it's Machloket Tanaim whether you can do Likud Tzamot, and we hold Halacha that we can't do Likud Tzamot. But even assuming within Remeir that you could do Likud Tzamot, so Remeir is saying that like Likud Tzamot sounds like I'm doing like a positive thing. I'm bringing the Gvura for his relatives to rest. So in the greater scheme of things, there's greater symptom. But like having an Azkara before, like he's not dead, he's not dying at that moment. I'm just doing the Azkara within 30 days of the Regal. So that, there's no chiv to do at that point in time. So don't do it at that point in time. In other words, it's nice, but it's not any chiv to do it. So that's what I would say. All right. Whose question comes to thoughts in the Zoom world? Let me hear the cyber world. Anybody in the cyber world want to say anything? Everybody good? Okay. You got to go? Right. Okay. So we got.
Doing
it. Yeah. We're flipping it over. Okay. We had somebody who was on. Daniel was on Zoom, and now he's in person. Now Yosef was on person, now he's going to be on Zoom. Yeah, all right. I tell you, we got a lot more. All right, Katanahara, all right, we have, okay, but so with Yosef, we have five of us here. We're going to lose one now, but we have a lot more people on Zoom than in person. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. I'm going to go further unless anybody has any questions.
I was just saying that Tzapdani, the whole job is to make people cry, and there's a person who
right.
cried and then Kosher.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's see further.
The people in the base medrash are Zoomless, but the people on Zoom are maskless.
All right. Let's see further the next Mishnah. Okay. So we're on the third Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "In chopin kuchin u'kvar b'moed." We're not allowed. Kuchin is like a niche. It means like this. They would have like a crypt. They would have like you go down into the ground. And there's like a whole vault there. And then on the sides of the ground, they'd have different niches. Those are the kuchen. And so, ein chofrin kuchen. So on Chol Hamoed, I'm not allowed to dig kuchen. Now, when we're talking about digging, it doesn't mean somebody needs to be buried now. It means just like for future planning. I mean, it sounds kind of like depressing. In other words, I'm digging the kuchen in case somebody down the road dies. He says, ukvarot. Kvarot is like, from the top of the surface of the ground, like we have a kever, the moed. Aval, mechanchin and a kuchin the moed. You can be mechanich the kuchin. The Gemara is going to say, I could shorten it, or I could, you know, widen it. In other words, the existing hole. He says, v'osin nivrechet the moed. I can make a nivrechet as a pool. And I make a pool either to launder clothes, and it means that it would have to be laundering clothes in a way that's permissible on Chol Hamoed, which isn't, you know, normally permissible, or The other pshat is it's a pool to help do tara on a dead person. That would be the other way to do it. But then it would have to be presumably like a mikvah. He says, "Va'aroni mameit bechatzer." Then I could build an aron for the mate. If the mate is in the chatzer, I could build the aron in Chol HaMoed. Then it's apparent to everybody that I'm building it for the mate. So it's open and notorious that way. Rabbi Yehuda oser. Rabbi Yehuda prohibits building the aron in Chol HaMoed. If the boards, I'm not allowed to store the boards on a Chol HaMoed, but if the boards were prepared before a Chol HaMoed, then the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says I could build the Aron on a Chol HaMoed. All right. Who's had questions, comes to us on what we did in the Mishnah? Yeah. What's up?
I think it has become popular in Israel now. Once again, they're going and they're making holes in the mountains.
All right. So Daniel says it's been popular now in Israel. They're making holes in the mountains. He says, all right, let's see. I know in Israel there's a big shortage of cemetery spots. And I know they have this thing where they now have like it's like a garage. Like you have like different levels and people are like buried on, you know, floor one, floor two, floor three. And the floors are connected like dirt in the columns and that's what's going. All right. Anyway, all right. Let's see. All right. Let's take a look now. All right. Let's see further the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, "My kuchin, my kvar." What are kuchin and what are kvarot? I'm going to view the kuchin b'chafira. So kuchin b'chafira, it means I'm digging the niche in the wall of like this bowl. You know, that's the kuchin. Ukvarot babinyan, it means the kvarot are on top of the ground and I'm going to build a kever over it, but that's where the kvarot are. So tani namiha, we learn a brayse that supports this. Elohim kuchim, elohim kvarot. So I would say, I didn't agree with the article translation on this line. I would have said, elu can mean these, but elu can mean what are. And it was like, elohim kuchim, what are kuchim? What are kvarot? That's the way I would have translated it. Kuchin b'chafiro kvarot b'binyan. That kuchin are b'chafiro, like that's what we said before, like digging into the wall of the vault, and the kvarot are b'binyan. It means from the top and then building a structure over it. Aval mechanchin in a kuchin. So the Mishnah said that I could be mechanich the kuchin. So kesa mechanchin, how you mechanich it? On a Chol HaMoed, again, we're not talking about if there's any dead person that needs to be buried there right now. I just want to, a person wants to plan for the future. So if it was too long, I can make it shorter. That I can do a Chol HaMoed. But beneath the Tana, the Brisa we learn, I can make it longer or I can widen it. That I can do a Chol HaMoed. Okay. But Osin Nivrechet Kulei, we can make a pool on a Chol HaMoed. My nevrechet. What's nevrechet? Obviously, nevrechet is related to the brecha, right? Like Michael said, brecha, right? In modern Hebrew, brecha is a pool, so it's connected. So he says, my nevrechet. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, zu bakia. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's a bakia. So v'hatania nevrechet v'bakia. But we learn the brisa that I could build the nevrechet and I could build the bakia. So the bakia is obviously not the same as the nevrechet. What is nevrechet? So the Gemara said bakia. But the brisa says I could build a nevrechet and I could build a bakia. So they're obviously not the same thing. So Amar Abaye b'Tamer of Kahana, Iha Ubar Hiya. It means that I have the master pool and then I have a smaller, that's the nevrechet, and then I have a smaller pool like for runoff water and that would be the bakia. All right? But aron mameit b'chatzer, and then I could build an aron with the mate in the chatzer, meaning if the mate's in the chatzer and I'm building the aron in the chatzer, so it's like obvious to everybody I'm building it for the mate. So he says, Tanina lahatan rabbanan. We learn in the Mishnah that which was taught in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Osim kol tzarchei ameit, you're allowed to do all the needs for a mate on Chol HaMoed. Goes in lo sa'aro, you can cut his hair. I was bothered by this. You know, I thought that you don't cut or touch anything in the body. That part I was bothered with. Umechabz lo ksuto, you can launder his clothes. Ba'os lo aron, meaning sarim ha-menu sarim me'er of yontov. You construct an aron from planks that have already been, you know, sawed down before yontov. Roshim gamlil me'er, af mevin eitzim u'menasran b'tzina b'tofeto. So that first opinion is the same as the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't build the Aron, okay, Shimon is Sarim, unless they have the planks that are already made. Rosh Gamliel is like the Tanakh Kama of our Mishnah, similar but not exactly the same. Gamliel says, Ah, maybe an eighth of Nasrim Batsina Batopeto. I can bring wood and saw it in quietly in my house. So the Tanakh Kama in our Mishnah said, just Osin, what does he say? He said, Aron imameit b'chater. He doesn't say I have to do it quietly in the house. And Rosh Gamliel says I have to do it quietly in the house, but they're similar to one another. Okay. And I think, I don't know, one in the article, I think they had it that way or somewhere that I saw it. Okay. Perfect. Wait, what am I saying? Okay. So we got questions, comes to us. Dina's got, and I'll go to everybody else. What's up?
I know that they cut the nails of the men. In fact, that's one of the reasons that Kitzesar said we should not do it in order because for men, they do it in order.
As far as I know, they don't cut the nails. They just they clean the nails. They don't cut. Order. As far as I know, they don't cut the nails. They just clean the nails of the mate.
I mean, it's dead anyway.
No. I believe the Chevron Kaddish leaves the body the way it is. I was bothered by this thing about cutting the hair. I don't think they cut hair or do anything like that. So that I have to ask. Anyway, who's the questions, comments, thoughts? Any other questions, comments, thoughts? What's up? Okay, Rafi's got a question. What's up? Right. So it means if an Aron is being used, like in other words, even in Eretz Israel today, as far as I know, I think they bring the mace to the base of Kvaros. No, they don't bring an Aron at all. Don't when they transport it, they just totally metalism. That's it. And that's it. Well, and so it means if let's say you're transporting the mace between one city and another city or whatever you need to do. You put them in an Aron. So if it's done, then that's the way it would be done.
I think in America, they say that the rules, they do not want the body, maybe this contamination, they force you.
Right.
And I heard that there are some places that they take it from below to make sure that Min Adam and Adam at the shul. That's the one. They take the plant from the bottom.
Okay, let me just do a little bit. Okay, so this is from the Daf Digest now. Now, the Mishnah says it's forbidden to excavate grave sites for tombs of Chol HaMoed. Rashi says digging graves for future use is forbidden because it constitutes tirach yitera, excessive exertion. Tosfos explains that preparing a grave site for an existing corpse that requires burial is certainly only permitted on Chol HaMoed, because the Gemara in Bei and Davav indicates that for the sake of burying the dead, it's even permitted to perform lachos on the second day of Yontiv. In other words, even Jews could dig a kever on the second day of Yontiv for mace. So obviously, I could do it on Chol HaMoed if somebody's dead there. The Ramah, citing the Rivash, writes that one should not dig a grave for a critically ill person who is a portentous omen that can detrimentally affect his destiny. They shall litra mazale. In other words, if a person's like ill, so I shouldn't go dig the grave for him. So the Chidah asks, the fact that our Mishnah forbids digging graves for future use on Chol HaMoed indicates, contrary to the Rivash, that during the year, when Tirkei Tehar is of no concern, is permitted to dig graves for people while they're still alive. So it means like this. So our Mishnah says, let's go back. Our Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed, I shouldn't dig graves for future use, because that's a tircha yitera. But the implication of the Mishnah is that when it's not Chol HaMoed, I could dig graves for future use. But we just said, the Ramah citing the Rivash says, I shouldn't dig a grave for somebody until he's dead. So how do I reconcile those two? Right. Okay, we'll see. In answer, the Chidah suggests that the Rivash only disapproves of digging a grave for a specific person. That's what Michael was saying. Whereas our Mishnah is referring to those who wish to dig graves for the community without any specific person in mind. So for a specific person, that's like literal mazale. That doesn't auspicious to do that. But the other thing, now, alternatively, the Sharim Mitzvina Balach explains that the Rivash only disapproves of digging a grave for an ill person who is on the verge of death. For in such a case, the grave preparation has ominous connotations, as it implies a presumption of death without hope for recovery. He says, the Rivash says, however, that it's perfectly acceptable for a healthy person to acknowledge his mortality and prepare shrouds or a grave for himself. So if the person's healthy and wants to dig a grave, that's fine. It's just like when he's in a...
Buying a grave is a skula for a kohen. Buying a grave is a skula for a kohen.
So in Shulchan Aruch, I think like the Ramah brings down like there are different things that we don't do you know, with when a person is critically ill. All right.
I mean, yeah. Have to be in the second day of Yom Tov.
Right.
One of the differences is Yom Tov.
All right. Now. All right. One second. All right. This will be good. Okay, this week. He's also, he discusses it here. He says, like, digging graves, like, Potech or Satan. Okay, so he's got the basic idea here. Okay, let me go for this next mission. Okay, everybody with me? So we're in Chedem days. And these are famous Mishnayot here. So it's the second Mishnah. So Manitin, Enosim Nashim B'Moei. You're not to marry someone on Chol HaMoed. Lo Betulot. A Betula is a woman who's never been married before. Below Almanot, an Almana, a widow. Below Miyabin. You can't do Yibum with your brother died and then he left a widow. You can't do Yibum with her. Nisha Simcha Hilo. Because those things are Simcha. And we'll see that, like, we're right. The Gemara is going to say, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha Simcha. We don't want to mix one Simcha with another Simcha. Aval Machazir Huwe Grushato. A person could take his grusha. So if Reuben was married to Rachel, then he divorced Rachel, and then he chooses to remarry Rachel, so he can remarry Rachel on Chol HaMoed. And Rashi says, Machazir grushato, deina simcha katach. It's not so much simcha when you take back your grusha. Now, po'osa yishatach shiteh b'moed. A woman can prepare her regular cosmetics on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yudol Meir, Lo tasud nation evil hula. She shouldn't. Tasud is they would like prepare a depilatory that would go on the skin, and that caused her tremendous discomfort. And so even though eventually it'll be removed, but right now in Chol HaMoed she's miserable. A hedyot tofer kidarko means a non-expert. It's a different halacha. Is allowed to do tefira sewing in a normal fashion. Now we'll see on Shabbos's daf, which is daf yud. So the Gemara is going to discuss what's Masay Uman and what's Masay Hedyot. So the Gemara there is going to explain that if you do, like, take the needle and do a couple of stitches at once, that's Masay Uman. Hedyot Tofer Kedarko. Hedyot can do it normally. Uman Machliv. The Uman has to do it. Machliv is to make a Shinui. So Shinui, the Gemara is going to say Machliv is related to the Kelev, like the teeth of the Kelev are, like, separated. So he'll do the stitches and they'll be like far apart from each other. Umasargin and Amitot. And then the Tana of the Mishnah says you can weave, like, their beds were like four, like a frame, like a wooden frame, and then interlaced in the frame with these ropes that would hold up like the leather mat. That would be the bed. So according to the Tana Kama, Umasargin and Amitot, you're allowed to weave the ropes for a bed on Chol HaMoed. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mimachin. Rabbi Yossi says, according to this pshat, like some have the girsa af Mimachin, in which case Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Tanakhama, but there are girsa of Rabbi Yossi Omer Mimachin that I can only tighten the ropes and I can't weave them from the get go with this whole thing. All right. Thinking what? It's to tighten it.
Is that harder than to weave?
So, weaving, I assume, is like type of, like a riga, like type of thing, but the Mamakin is something different. Okay, let's see. Okay, so the Gemara says, "B'chisim chilo my hobby." So we said that I can't marry somebody on Chol HaMoed because marrying is a big simcha for me. So the Gemara says, "So what? So be a simcha for him." She says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, B'chinam Rabbi Blazar, I'm Rabbi Oshia." I can't mix one simcha with another simcha. Let's see Rashi, or what we call Rashi, 8 lines from the bottom. I have to focus just on the Chol HaMoed, on the Moed, and not be focused on my wife. He says, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna Amar Mishminiach Simcha Regel VaOsek Simcha Ishto. So Rabbi Rav Huna says, because I'm going to, like, ignore or give less emphasis for the Simcha Regel and focus on the Simcha of my wife. That's enough to mean to the show note. According to the first Lashon, it sounds like anything that's simcha, I can't do. In other words, any simcha, anything of simcha, I can't do on a Kol HaMoed, because ain marvin simcha b'simcha. According to the second shot, it sounds like just marrying is unique. In other words, I'm going to focus on my wife with that thing. But if it wouldn't be the wife, then maybe I could do it. We'll talk hopefully in a few minutes, okay?
So he what says is that he, statement about doing chavilot, chavilot? Is that this?
No.
What's that?
Chavilot, chavilot is, let's say I have a cup of wine, you know, and they talk about doing many mitzvahs with the same cup of wine. That's what chavilot, chavilot is.
Okay.
But again, please wait till I finish. Okay, let's go on. Now, this is Amar Lei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. So Baisat Rav Yosef had the Rabbi Ravuna the Ravu. So Rabbi Ravuna's Hezber, which was that that the Yikibi of something for Simcha Ishta, Rav said it. Amar Rav Daniel B'Kratina Marav, Minayin Sheno Sim Nashim B'Moed. How do I know I'm not allowed to marry women on Chol HaMoed? Shnemar B'Samach Tabech HaGechpa. Pasuk says you should rejoice in your holidays. B'Chagecha B'Lo B'Ishtecha. Your holiday, not your wife. Okay, so focusing on the wife. Okay, so that's two reasons. Now, Ula Amar, Ula says the reason I can't marry a Kol HaMoed, B'nei HaTorah, because it's so much like people who've been through maybe a wedding, in their mind, there's a lot of work preparing for a wedding. So there's so much exertion about preparing the suda for a wedding. It's like removing a simchas yontif. All right, that's reason number three. Reason number four. Yisachar Napcha Amar, B'nei Bitul Piri Yivaribya. Yisachar Napcha says, if I could push off weddings till Chol HaMoed, so everybody's going to push off the wedding till Chol HaMoed because everybody's off from work then and everybody's sitting around and you have meals and things like that, and nobody's going to get married during the year. So everybody's going to push off all the weddings till Chol HaMoed. Okay, so those are the four reasons we give for not getting married on Chol HaMoed. All right, now let me just do a few more lines in the Gemara and I'll say a few words and then we'll take some questions, okay? So Meifei, on all of the reasons we ask Akasha from the following Braisa. And tomorrow's daf, which is a very nice daf, this is the daf which talks about how the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash took place over Yom Kippur, and that year everybody ate on Yom Kippur. And then Bakol said, your own Muzuma Mechayel Amaba, I'm sorry that we're not doing it together, but it's tomorrow's daf, it's a nice daf. Okay, so now...
Don't have boys.
What?
Don't have boys.
Okay, so now the Gemara says... so, Meifei, call Elu Sha'amru Asur Nisab HaMoed. The Braisa says, all the people they say you're not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed on the top line of Tehman Aleph, who currently saw Erev HaRegla, that you could get married on Erev Yontif. Everybody can get married on Erev Yontif. So the Gemara says, Kasha Lekulu. So every reason we said has got a problem now. If I say that, you know, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, if I get married Erev Yontif, so the Simcha is not going to like be like a clock, and then, you know, when look back, now there's no more Simcha, I've got the whole week. And then according to Saad that, you know, I'll be Mesameach my Ishto and not Yantiv, I'll also be Mesameach my Ishto and not Yantiv. And then we said, according to Saad of the Torah, so I'm going to be with Tircha during the whole week and it's going to carry over. And according to Saad, then people will be back to Piri of Arabia. So they'll be, if they can get married in Erev Yantiv, they'll do it that way. And that's, you know, like I mentioned in Europe, people would get married on Fridays and then have the suda on Friday night because they didn't have so much money and that will be the meal. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. The Gemara says, there's no contradiction. Lamanda Mar Mishum Simcha, according to the opinion, says that I'm afraid that you will want you to focus on Simcha Yantiv. Ikar Simcha Chad Yomahu. The Ikar Simcha of a wedding is one day. That first day is Ikar Simcha. Once the day ends, there will be Simcha, but it won't be the Ikar Simcha. Okay, please just wait 3 minutes. Okay, now, Lamanda Mar Mishum Tircha, according to the opinion, says it's too much exertion getting involved with all the meals, the whole thing. Ikar tircha chad yomahu. The main tircha is one day. It's like, you know, like you have a wedding. So the main tircha is the main male wedding, and the shem brachot aren't as much tircha. He says, Lamanda mar mishum bitul piri of Arivia, and then we're afraid that people will push off getting a wedding to Erev Yantiv, l'chad yomah lomashi in a shnafshe. He says, people aren't going to push it off for one day. If it's just a one day, I'm afraid something will happen in that one day, and I can't do it, then I'm lost. So people won't push it off for that. Now the Gemara says, "Udain marvin simcha b'simcha menalan." Where do we know that I can't be marvin simcha b'simcha? The Tiv Shlomo ba'eda hirachag that Shlomo Melech celebrated Sukkot. B'chol Yisrael imo kahal gadol milvokam adam nacham mitzrayim with neyashem elkenu shivakimim shivakimim marav ba'asar yom. So this is when Shlomo Melech was dedicating the Beis Hamikdash, So the dedication began on the 8th of Tishrei, and then it finished on the 14th of Tishrei. And the 14th of Tishrei, he said, stick around as long as you're here, and we'll celebrate Yom Tov together. If you could mix one simcha with another simcha, so he's got an easier solution. So he should have said, wait till Sukkot, and we'll do one celebration of 7 days. So since he didn't do that, that's a raya that in Marvin simcha b'simcha. Okay, now, that's going to be that for today. Now, let me just do a little bit with this, then we'll take some questions. In other words, what is Shlomo Melech had like two young tovim, one 7 days before Sukkot and one 7 days over Sukkot. But if I could do it all together, this is for the Beis HaMikdash. So, but if I could do it all together, he would have made one young tovim 7 days. But the Raya, since he did it that way, that it must be the Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. And why do we have a, what's your question? The Gemara is going to ask some questions on this, but Lechora, if I'm going to have a celebration, I would do one celebration of 7 days. Is the way I would make it. That's what the Gemara says.
7 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they're going to use a classic example of.
He says like this. He says this would have been the logical thing to do, so as not to keep the people away from the work for so many days. He told us he were monthly ibaylei. So okay, ibaylei, right? The top post was ibaylei mintar atak. They should ibaylei yisrael mimlachan kotak. Okay, all right. Now let me just.
One man learned from Yaakov that he married the two sisters a week apart in Malvin Simcha B'Simcha. I mean, it brings that down that they waited a week.
All right. All right. I don't know now. All right. Okay. Now the question is like this: that we said about Amar and Simcha B'Simcha. Let me see what he's got here. He had about other. Is this where I saw it or did I see here? One second. I fit one here. Okay. One second. There's something else here. One second. Oh, here. Right. Okay, right. So he says like this. He has a question whether I could have a Ketiva Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed. Can I conclude the writing of Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed? So our Gemara says that, you know, you can't have a marriage on Chol HaMoed. Amar and Simcha B'Simcha. So all the poskim agree that there are simchas that we can do in Chol HaMoed, like a Sima Sechta, we could definitely do. He says, and you see that on Shmini Atzeret, B'Dafka, or we say on Simcha Torah, we have a simcha completion of the cycle of reading the Torah, which is Takanas HaGaonim. So then you see that there are some simchas we do on Yantiv. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains that Simchas Torah is different. I mean, it's not an individual simcha. It's a simcha that everybody's zocha for the Torah and all the mitzvahs. And the Kalim Arvin simcha is you can't mix two private simchas. But if it's like everybody's got the simcha that I could do. Now with writing a Sefer Torah, so typically you would write the letters at the end. So he gets into a discussion, what about writing the letters of a Sefer Torah on a Chol HaMoed? So typically you would say we normally don't write letters on Chol HaMoed. So Sofrim don't do that. He says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, even the correct one letter in a Sefer Torah is prohibited. And the Rama writes that Isur doesn't include somebody who's not an Uman, so not so expert on it. So he gets into a whole thing, like won't go through the whole thing now, but like sometimes they can write the letters and just label like what they typically do, and then this little space has to be filled in. So the Stei Chemed brings down in the name of the Beis Yitzchak that filling in the letters is not the prohibited ksiva. But he quotes the Shas and Shuvah says Yaakov that the Tzadim before of Yosef Shalom Nathanson, the Shalom Eshev, And he says, I saw the pilpul on the, your pilpul on this, but the minhag is to finish the Sefer Torah Chol HaMoed and to be machmesed on Hoshana Rabbah, he says. But with that, there are other poskim who indicate that it's better not to do it this way. And Beis Yitzchak indicated that he would try to, encourage the Sofrim to finish the Ksiva absolutely before Chol HaMoed. And only if they did that, then Nerachsim Miluyo Tiv Chol HaMoed. Oh, Rabbi, open the book, let's make Chol HaMoed. Rakim Loasukain. Right. So if they didn't do that, then he would fill in the letters. But otherwise, he would encourage him to complete it. Okay. Yeah, let's go really quick. All right. Okay, Rafi's saying that like the Yom Tov is like a marriage to Hashem. We don't want to mix one marriage with another marriage. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, so we have, okay, I want to say goodbye to everybody. Let me get the recording over.